take our Bibles tonight and let's turn in the Old Testament to the book of Psalms once again, Psalm 23. And the chapter that we've been taking the time to look at each meeting of this conference. Psalm 23. Once you've found your place, let's stand together as we always do for the reading of the Word of God. And again, let's just go ahead and read the six verses aloud together. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We'll go to the Lord in prayer. After we pray, we'll have our special. And then we're just so privileged to once again have Pastor Shetler with us, and of course Mrs. Shetler too. And it's just been a great help and encouragement and blessing thus far. Amen? Amen. And I'm looking forward, I know you are too, to what God has for us tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are truly thankful tonight for the great privilege we have to be here, to take the time to look at your word. And God, I pray that you would open your word to us tonight. I pray that your word would not return void, but that you would accomplish your purpose in my heart and in each of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you draw us nearer to yourself. I pray that those areas of our life that you'd have us to pay heed to, I pray that we pay heed to them. And God, again, we pray that everything that's said and done in this hour would uplift, glorify, and honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for what you do. We know that without you, we can do nothing. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Sing you, or a story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be
about the cross.
And joy I have when times are tough.
I could sing of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. Although it's bittersweet, remembering the cross, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross.
Mercy and love.
know, you think of the emblem of the cross, the shame, the ugliness of it, the pain that it represents, and yet, to us as believers, what Jesus Christ did on that cross is so beautiful. And we praise the Lord for that. Hey, I just want to tell you, it is a great sight on this Monday night to see this place as packed as it is tonight. I want to thank you so much for coming out. Let me just ask a few questions. How many Faith Baptist School students do we have here tonight? Would you raise your hand? Wow, that's just a great number. It's good to see all of you. Man, we had two really good chapels this morning. The Lord just really, I sense, gave us a real freedom. And folks here at Faith Baptist, I want to talk to you for just a minute. I pastor a church that has a Christian school. I think we have the same heart, the same goals of Faith Baptist here. You know what? Your school is a special treasure to this community, and your school is a special treasure to this church as well. And I know there can be a lot of times that maybe the school makes things inconvenient. Maybe there's things that have to change on a schedule because of the school. But I want you to know, Faith Baptist has a lot of ministries. But I don't know if there's any ministry that reaches Canoga Park greater than Faith Baptist Schools. And you ought to thank the Lord for the Christian school that you have. You ought to thank the Lord for the teachers that God's brought here, the leadership that the Lord has given. And I want to tell you, in a day and age that we live today, Christian education is so important. And Faith Baptist School is important for each one of those students that are here tonight. Thanks for taking these other people's seats tonight. Amen. That's good. It's good to see that. By the way, I don't know if you realize what I just saw in the hands. If you're a student at Faith Baptist School, would you stand right now? I want you to see how many are here tonight from the school. The balcony is, I would say, half full, if not more, from the students down here as well. I think that's a great representative. Let's give them a hand. I appreciate them being out on a Monday night and being here as well. Thank you. All may be seated. Let me tell you a little bit about, Lord willing, the next couple nights, just to let you know. I know tomorrow's a big day. And if there would ever be an excuse not to be for one of the services, it would be to vote. But if there's any way that you can, I don't know what your schedules are. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. But if there's any way possible for you to be here tonight, our music director, Paul Shepler, will be coming down. He'll be singing a couple numbers tomorrow. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy him. I think the Lord's just really blessed him, and God's taken him through a lot of different things. I've asked him to sing a couple songs specifically with the what we're going through in the study, but I think also they mean a lot to him. And you'll sense that tomorrow when he sings. And I really do mean it honestly. And the music here has been just so good. The choir was so good tonight. And the ladies' ensemble was just so blessed. I think you're in for a real treat tomorrow. And I think it'll be a real blessing to you. Tomorrow, we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Tomorrow. And I don't want you to miss that, because most people misinterpret this passage of Scripture right here. On what that it is a shadow of the valley of death. And it is not what you think. And when you realize what the shepherd is trying to do by going through that valley, you are going to be blessed. And then he's going to prepare a table for you tomorrow on the top of a mesa that you will thoroughly appreciate. We're going to try to cover two verses tomorrow night. I think it'll be extremely encouraging. You know, think about it. As close as the election, I think, is going to be tomorrow, you're probably not going to find out anyhow who our president is till into the wee hours of the morning, if even that. So this is the place you need to be. And let me encourage you to make, I will tell you, I believe that if you come tomorrow night, that you will leave and you'll say, wow, I am so thankful that I came. Tomorrow night, I bring my rod and my staff out. And we kind of made some authentic rod and staff, and you'll see those tomorrow. Have you ever wondered why it's a rod and a staff? And tomorrow night, you'll find out. And oh, that is such a blessing that he comforts me with his rod and with his staff. And you'll find out what the shepherd's trying to do with that. Tomorrow will be blessing. And then, Lord willing, Wednesday night, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we will end with verse number 6 on Wednesday night. And I'll tell you, you will leave encouraged when you recognize and realize the goodness and mercy that has followed you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want to tell you something. In all the study that we've done for this, and preparation and prayer that we've done for this, something happened Sunday morning after the second service that a young man, he may be here tonight, came and talked to me, asked me a question. It actually opened up verse 6 to me like I had never seen before. And so I've got something that I'm really excited about giving on Wednesday night that I have never preached before because of a young man here asked me a question on Sunday that just, I saw something I have not seen in Psalm 23. We kind of found it together, being the young man. And so I'm excited about giving that to you as well. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 23, and I know we already quoted it together. Then we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to hear on verse number 3 tonight, and I've entitled this message, Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. As we begin, I wanted to go back to the first four words of verse 3, because we are looking at verse 3. Many of you might not have been here not last Sunday night, but the week before. I drove down to Santa Maria, and I preached on those four words, He restoreth my soul. Let me just review a little bit with that. A lot of times people wonder about that little part in the psalm. They say, well, wait a second. If he's the shepherd that he's supposed to be, and he's that good a shepherd, then why do the sheep ever have to be restored? And I will tell you, a perfect shepherd does not guarantee perfect sheep. And even though our Lord is the perfect shepherd, he is the good shepherd, he is the chief shepherd, even though that may be true, the sheep still have to be restored. That's what fall revival is all about. This whole period of time is so that your heart gets restored. Now, some of you that were here a week ago yesterday, you remember there's three reasons why a shepherd has to restore a sheep. Now, when they talk about restore, here's what they mean. The sheep has fallen on its back. And when a sheep gets on his back, it is impossible for that sheep to get upright by himself. He can't do it. And they will die. They will die. Matter of fact, because of the gastric acids and everything in the stomach when they're on their back, they can die within hours if the shepherd does not come back to restore them. So the idea of restoration in those four words is the idea of being set back upright. That's what revival is. Revival is being set back up right again where you're supposed to be. So the shepherd comes. He does it for three reasons. One, the sheep get too comfortable. Now, last night we heard about in the lying down in green pastures. We know that sheep won't lie down unless some conditions are met. But when they get in that position, sometimes they get too comfortable and they'll fall over on their side. They can't get back up. So the shepherd will come and restore them. Then the second reason is they get too much dirt in their wool. They get so many impurities in their wool or clay or dirt or whatever in their wool, and they get off balance, and the weight of their wool, they'll tip over. And the shepherd has to come and clean their wool and restore them and get them back up. And the third reason, and I like this one, the third reason why they tip over, they get too fat. And they get so fat, they just tip over. And the shepherd has to come and get them up. And you know what? A lot of times in our spiritual life, we've become fat in our spiritual life. We've taken in and we haven't exercised. And we need to be restored. And when he restores them, he gets them back up. He massages their legs because the blood circulation getting back down and all the way into their hoofs and everything. And he restores them. He'll many times get right over them and cradle them and get them and restore them. He's got to stand there with them for a little bit because they're still a little uneasy. It is a beautiful process. Now, that's not what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at the next phrase. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, we have a lot to go in this psalm. However, if there was a shepherd here tonight, he would tell you in this psalm the most dangerous and the most important time of shepherding sheep comes in this last part. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let me go ahead and read the scripture, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, tonight, may we understand what it means to be led in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, there are a lot of people in this auditorium. And Father, there may be a lot of souls that are not on the right path tonight. Maybe in their thinking, in their mind, Father, they have gotten, they're depressed. They become bitter. They are not on the path that you want them to be. They're on a self-will path. Father, I do not know. But Lord, if there are individuals here tonight that are not in the paths of righteousness, may tonight you and the Holy Spirit shepherd them back into the right paths. May they be humble. Father, I know how much I hate turning around when I've made a mistake on a highway. God, help these people to make the U-turn of repentance tonight and get on the paths of righteousness. And in Jesus' name, I pray for a spirit of revival tonight. And we ask these things now. For Christ's sake, in Christ's name, amen. Truly, if a shepherd was here tonight and you were to ask him questions, and you were to ask him what is the most crucial and important time of his shepherding, you'd say this. After the sheep have grazed in a field, it is very important to know when to leave that pasture. Sheep are really interesting. We'll get into this on surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Let me tell you, sheep can leave a field extremely well fertilized and a field that will replenish in an incredible way, or sheep can leave a field totally decimated. Ranchers have completely destroyed flocks and their land by leaving sheep too long in a field. So the shepherd has to know just the right time, okay? They have grazed enough. Overgrazing can destroy everything. It is now time to leave. Temperature comes into play here, the weather conditions, where they go next, the shepherd looks, and we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, but he's got to find that right mesa. He finds that table where he's going to take them to the next, and how he leads them there through the valley. We'll wait till you find that out tomorrow, but it's time for the sheep to leave. Now, let me tell you a little bit about shepherding 2,000 years ago. It's very different than the way we would know any kind of shepherding today, whether it's Ireland, whether it's the United States, or even, unfortunately, even Israel today. The way that they shepherd today is they shepherd from behind the sheep, and they drive them like you would cattle. And they're behind them, and they drive the sheep into the next pasture. That is not the way that David led his flock. He led his flock from the front, not from the back. And true leadership is not done from behind. True leadership is done from the front. But in order for sheep to follow a shepherd from the front, there is a, and I know it's an animal, but there is a relationship between that animal and that shepherd. There is a trust. And that sheep knows, I don't want to be too far behind. Now, that sheep will, or that shepherd will probably have a couple sheepdogs, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. How those sheepdogs kind of, and I call them, they've even got names. You know the names of the two sheepdogs? Goodness and Mercy. And they will follow you all the days of your life. And Goodness and Mercy are the names of the two sheepdogs. However, the shepherd is out in front. And that shepherd leads. And as he leads, he knows the time, he knows the place, but he's got to have a how.
What do you mean a how? What do you mean how?
There's got to be a way. There's got to be, okay, there's a time, it's now. Now they need to leave. There's got to be a place that they're going to go. There needs to be a where. But there needs to be a how. And the how are the paths of righteousness. You see, if they take the wrong path, and they leave at the wrong time, and they don't end up in the right place, the whole flock can be destroyed. So the shepherd has to choose the right path. I want to talk to you about basically two things tonight. I want to talk to you about the leadership of the shepherd, and then I want to talk to you about the paths of righteousness. Let's talk for just a moment about this leadership. In the Israeli army, there's two unique, very unique statistics. In the Israeli army, has the least casualty rate of any army that has ever fought in human history. In other words, per person against who they have fought, there is less casualties in the Israeli army than any other army. Boy, Israeli soldiers just don't die. Very rarely do you ever find one that will lose their life. However, the Israeli army has the highest casualty rate amongst officers of any army in the world. Now you say, Jim, those are contradictory. That doesn't make any sense. How can they have the smallest casualty rate of soldiers, but the highest casualty rate of officers? And I'll tell you why. All armies in the world always have their officers lead from behind. But the Israeli soldiers, the Israeli officers, are the first ones in. They're lead the tank brigade. The officers will be there. And one thing about an Israeli officer, he will lead his squadron in. He will not tell his squadron, his company, his battalion where to go. He will always lead them. So there's a lot of casualties with the officers, but boy, do the soldiers fight behind that kind of leadership. I want you to understand, we don't have a shepherd that's behind us, driving us and whipping us and telling us where we need to go. We have a shepherd that leads us. And he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness. Now, this is what leadership really is. Leadership is taking the initiative to meet the responsibilities of those in my care with a servant's heart. Dads, hear that definition. Because that's what you are in your home, dads. You are to be the shepherd of your home. You aren't supposed to be driving your wife and kids from behind. You're supposed to be leading your family from the front. You take the initiative. You're the one that, if things are done spiritually in your home, it's you that should take the initiative. That's what the shepherd does. The shepherd leads by taking the first step. The shepherd's not from behind, okay, honey, if you go to church, maybe I'll go too. Or if the kids go, maybe I'll go. Or yeah, if we're going to have devotions, honey, why don't you go ahead and lead in prayer or whatever. No, no. When you're the head of your home, you lead. You take the initiative in your home. You are the head of your home. You are the shepherd of your home. And by the way, I do think that the picture of a shepherd is a great picture for fathers. By the way, Sunday school teachers, workers here, teachers in the school, this is what we're supposed to do as leaders. We take the responsibility with an initiative, with a servant's heart. This isn't about me. This is about the sheep. This isn't about my comfort. It's about getting up early to get the sheep in the right pasture. Leaders are not dictators. Leaders are those that set the example. Leaders are those that take the responsibility. And I love that phrase, take the responsibility. Our shepherd took the responsibility like no one else. My wife's here tonight. I believe my wife loves me. And I believe that maybe in the right situation, my wife would give her life for me. I know I would give my life for my wife. My boys love me. And we have a great relationship. I got my mother living with us. She loves me. And all these people have done things for me. I think my church loves me. But you know what? I've never had anyone take responsibility for my sin. No one's ever taken now, Jim, I love you, and I'll help you. Jim, you really messed up. Let me see if I can correct you. My wife will come in. No, I you messed up, but let's see what I can do to help you now, Jim. But I will tell you this, folks. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God took the initiative, and he came to this earth as a little babe born in some stall outside the city of Bethlehem. And he took the initiative to live the perfect life on this earth, to die on the cross for my sin. Let me tell you something. 2,000 years ago, he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you know why he did that? He took the responsibility of my sin. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane where blood came out of his pores in agony and praying because he was about to take the responsibility for my bad thoughts, for my bad language, and for the deeds that I have done to violate the commandments of God. He took the responsibility of my sin. If you're here tonight, friend, and you have never trusted Christ, Christ is your substitute. He's the good shepherd that laid his life down for the sheep. And I want you to know, you've never had a leader like this that took the responsibility. Which else? He took the initiative. But this is all, and this is really important, for his name's sake. Now, he's going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. You're a part of his flock, and he loves you. But let me tell you why he loves you. You say, "Well, Brother Scheller, I think I know why he loves me. I just got to tell you, I'm a funny guy. I can just tell a joke. I get into a place, and people are just always happy when I'm around." And I got to tell you, Jim, I think the reason why the Lord loves me is because of my sense of humor. Someone else might say, "No, I don't think that's why I'm part of the flock. I'm a very conscientious person. I make sure everything's done right, and I have a very tender heart, and I'm very, very conscientious about things, and I think that's probably why I'm in the flock." Well, I guess maybe I'm in the flock because I'm a merciful person. And I like to show mercy to people. And when somebody's hurting, I'm there for them. Maybe someone else might say, "Well, you know, I'm a giver. The sheep need something, I'm always there to help the sheep." I got to tell you, I just have a giving heart. I think God gave me a giving heart. God's blessed me in my life, in my business. And I'm just there to give. I think I'm probably part of the flock because I'm a giver. You know, I'll tell you, Jim, God's given me some special talents. I have some music abilities, and God's done some things. And I give God all the credit for this, but I think I'm probably in the flock because of my voice. I guarantee you, that's not why I'm in the flock. Let me tell you. And maybe many of you would say, "Well, I think I'm in the flock because of this," or I think, can I tell you why you're in the flock? Can I tell you why God loves you? He loves you not because of who you are. He loves you because of who he is. You see, now, I got to tell you something. I like this guy here, and I think in Jesus Christ, I love Pastor Tim Rasmussen. I really mean that. I think I love your pastor. But I could give you 5, 6, 7 reasons why I love this guy. I really could. I could give you reasons why I love him. Can I tell you this? God does not love us because of who we are. God loves us because of who he is. It is God loves us. And isn't that a great joy? Because it's not up to my performance. Boy, I better keep giving. I better keep being funny. I better get some new jokes or I won't be in the flock anymore. You know, I better keep being merciful. I better keep doing. No, no. Friend, you're in the flock because of his unconditional love for you. This is the kind of leader that we have. And he's doing this for his namesake. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to make sure you get there because his name is attached to you as a sheep. You're going to dwell with him forever. in the house of the Lord. I'll tell you why. Because His name is on you as a sheep. And with His name on you as a sheep, even though you may go astray, He's going to make sure that you get back. Because, friend, you carry His name with you in this flock. For His name's sake. Okay, Brother Scheller, I got it all about Jesus now. But what are these paths of righteousness? Well, that's what I want to talk about tonight. What are the paths of righteousness? So first of all, let me tell you what a path is. A path is a beaten down way. It's a beaten down way. There's something that's gone on before. I love to do hiking. Now, I don't like just hiking in a field without, I like to be on a trail. I like to be on a path. I love to be outdoors. We have some beautiful hiking trails in Santa Barbara County. Just beautiful. There's a state park up there called Montana de Oro, and it goes right along the coast. It is absolutely gorgeous. And they have a path about as wide as the center aisle right here, maybe not quite that wide. And it is a path that you take, and it's beaten down. I mean, there's gravel on it and everything. You can ride a bicycle on it. I mean, it's a beaten down path. Now, that's what we're dealing with when he says the paths of righteousness. And why you say, okay, Jim, you got your point. What's it so important? That means somebody's gone before. That means somebody has gone before and blazed a trail. Somebody has gone before and beaten down a trail. And I want to tell you, Jesus Christ will never take you down a trail that he has not gone down already. You'll never go down through anything in your life. Nothing will ever happen in your life that Jesus Christ hasn't already been on that trail. And I want to tell you something else, friend. There's a lot of other believers that have been down that trail too. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever's happened in your life, I want you to know that there have been believers and Christians that have walked that trail before you. So that's what a path is. It's a beaten down way. Somebody has traveled that way before. The paths of righteousness. I have thought about this for ages. I thought, what in the world are the paths of righteousness? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I thought about this. If there's righteous paths, that means there can be wicked paths. And folks, that is absolutely true. For every right path, there is a wrong path. For every path of life, there is a path of death. For every path of light, there is a path of darkness. For every righteous path, there is a wrong path. And that's what I wanted to say tonight. Folks, you got to choose what path you are going to follow in life. Now, I thought about this. Okay. So what are these paths? And I'm in Psalm 23. Look with me over to Psalm 25 for just a moment. Psalm 25, and oh, this was so good. Psalm 25 in verse 4, the Bible says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Lord, the paths of righteousness. What are they? What? Teach me, Lord, your paths. And he will. Let me tell you what I think the paths of righteousness are. I think they are the principles, the precepts, the promises of the Word of God. Now, at first you think, okay, Jim, okay, this is getting a little theoretical to me. I'm not sure I get this. This isn't practical enough. Hold on. Let me just review, and then we'll get there. The paths of righteousness are the precepts of God's Word, the principles of God's Word, the promises of God's Word. Remember what the paths are going to do? They're going to get us from one place to another. He's got to get the right time, he's got to get the right place, but he's got to have the right path to go there. You say, Jim, how does this work? Here's how it works. Let's say, have you ever heard this phrase? I just think honesty is the best policy. Good. Honesty is the best policy. Now, you say, well, that's not a Bible verse. I understand. It's definitely got a biblical principle behind it. Honesty is the best policy. Let's say, you know, Jim, I live by that. I live by honesty is the best policy. And, you know, sometimes it's hurt me over my life. My dad taught it to me. My mom taught it to me. And I've just always kind of lived my life. Honesty is the best policy. And so sometimes, Oh, it's going to hurt me to say this. I'm going to probably lose some money to do this. I'm not going to be as popular. But I got to tell you, throughout my life, I have lived, honesty is the best policy. Let me tell you what that is. That has been a path of righteousness for you. That has carried you through your life. That principle is a principle that you've lived by. You have traveled. That principle has taken you to different places. Honesty is the best policy, and this is what I'm going to do right now. There's a verse in the scriptures that I think, I hope, characterizes my ministry. It's in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. And one of my biggest things is, Lord, help me tell the truth. When I preach, let me just, may not hold back the truth. May I give the truth, but may I do it in a way of love that people will receive it. That is a principle that I have traveled on. Speaking the truth in love. And folks, I just want to tell you, the paths of righteousness are the principles of God's word, are the precepts of God's word that you live by. Well, he will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake, when you're living by the word of God. Now, moms and dads, how many parents we got here tonight? You're a parent, raise your hand. You're a parent, okay. Big number of parents. Listen to this. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What does it mean to train up a child in the way that, I think you build up the child's conscience. And you teach them principles. You teach them precepts. And you say, son, you will never do that again in this house. You will never talk. You talk that way again, I'll wash your mouth out with soap. You'll never. You know what you're doing? You're putting principles in your child's heart. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Ooh, I got to have some water. I had this problem the other night, Marilee. I was talking about you and it wasn't real good. And I lost my voice right then. And the Lord smote me. I was joking, and I lost my voice right when I was talking about you. And I went, oh, boy. But anyways, the paths of righteousness are the principles of God's word. That as you live out God's word, folks, you're going to be on the right path. You take God's word in your life, you put it in your life, and you live by it. Look at all the areas, your finances. Now, there's tons of verses on finances in the Bible. But how about this one? It's better to give than to receive. Okay? You're going to take that as a path. I'm going to live my life. It's better to give than to receive. That path is going to take you to all kinds of places. You're going to be taken into pastures. You're going to take, it's better to give than to receive. Now, you could take the wrong path. You deserve it. Man, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm spending the money on, I worked hard for this money and I'm going to spend. It's better to give than to receive. There's two paths on finances. And there's all kinds of financial principles that you can give. I put down raising kids. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will deliver him from the hell. Well, that's a principle. I'll tell you this, you travel down that path, you're going to see your kids get saved and they're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to teach your, you know what, I believe my kid's got the foolishness bound in his heart. Good. Now, how are you going to react according to that? That's a principle that's going to take you down a road. A marital conflict. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit yourselves to the husband. If you take that path and you say, you know what, God's word says this, we're going to live by that. And when you live by that, God guides you. God blesses you. God takes care of you. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. God, I don't know where we're going in this pasture. Lord, I don't know where this path is going. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy pass. You see, it's the word of God in our life. Christians at First Faith Baptist, let me encourage you to do something. Live by the word of God. In the decisions you make, let the filter be, what does the Bible say? What does God's word say? What is this decision that we need to make this decision? Well, what do I have a verse for that? Does God show me? You start making every decision based on a path of righteousness. You start making your decisions in your life. Hey, should we continue to watch this movie? Well, what does God's word say in this? Should we buy this car? Should we trade our car in? Should we sell our house right now? Do you think we should move? Is this what God wants us to do? Can we continue doing this? You ask God for his word. I started to think about this. I look back over my life. I've got a verse that God gave me to marry this woman. I got a verse that God gave me to brought me into the ministry. I've got a verse that God gave me to bring me to California. I've got verses in my life that have been paths of righteousness. God's word has been given to me so that I can go, oh, look, this is what I need to do. Oh, look, this is what needs to happen in my life. Oh, this is the decision I need to make. Christians, I want to tell you something. If you want to be led by the shepherd, you're going to have to go on the paths of righteousness, and those are the precepts, the principles of the Word of God. Today in high school chapel, I challenged the seniors, or the high school, the 9th through 12th graders, I challenged them to read the book of Proverbs for the day of the month. Like today, we preached on Proverbs 5 because today was the 5th. I said, tomorrow, young people, read Proverbs 6. And I said, would you do that for 1 month? Almost every young person in the high school committed to that. And I pray that they'll do it. But I will tell you this. If those young people do that, they made one of the greatest decisions they will ever make in their life. Because when they come to crossroads, when they come to two different paths in their life, if they have studied, especially the book of Proverbs, they have studied Proverbs and they know the Word of God, they're going to make decisions based upon, well, you know what? God's Word says this. I think this is what I need to do. God's Word says this. I think I need to stop doing that. God's Word says I need to go back to my brother and my sister and make that right. Love covers a multitude of sins. He that confesses his sins shall have mercy. I need to get this taken care of in my life. I need to make this right in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. They get a hold of that today, and they start reading Proverbs every day, and they start putting those Proverbs in their life, they're going to be on the paths of righteousness. And God's going to be able to lead them and guide them. And moms and dads, this is the greatest thing. It's never too late to get into a path of righteousness. Now, you say, well, Brother Scheller, this would have been a good message to hear 25 years ago. And 25 years ago, if I would have heard this message, I would have been on the right path. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been on a lot of wrong paths in the last 25 years. This is good. But I will tell you, I've taken the wrong path so many times. This is the great thing about God. You are one step away from being back in the middle of God's will. You are. No. Brother John, you don't understand. You don't have any idea the paths I've gone down. This is the great thing about this shepherd. You make a decision tonight to say, you know what? It's the paths of righteousness for me. I'm going to follow my Lord. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. I'm going to follow the word of God. And I'm making a decision tonight that God's word is going to be my guide, my compass. God's word is going to be my path. And I'm going to make my decisions. You know what? I haven't done it. I'm 45 years old, and man, I've gone down a lot of bad paths. But tonight, I'm making a decision. The word of God is going to be my path of my life. And what I decide, what I buy, where I go, what I watch, what I say, I'm going to let the Word of God and its principles be the guide to guide me. I'm telling you, when that shepherd says, okay, it is time to move the flock. They are done in this pasture. He picks the right path to get them to the next place. And he gets those sheep, he cries out to them, they know his voice, and they begin to follow him. He leads, he's not driving them from behind, he's leading from the front, and he's going, and we as sheep follow that shepherd into the next mesa, up to the next higher ground, up into the next pasture field, and we begin to experience a relationship with the Lord like we've never had before. I want you to know, we got to cover a lot tomorrow, but I wanted to have this to be an important part of your revival. Because I think we've got a lot of Christians today that are not following the paths of righteousness. And to make a commitment and to say, dear God, I will follow the Word of God. And God's Word, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. The paths are the principles, the precepts, and the promises of His Word. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We do have a lot of people here tonight. And if you're here this evening,